turn to Micah 5. Micah is Old Testament. You find it's one of the minor prophets. You'll find that in your pew Bible around page 1450 or so. And then we're going to turn to Revelation 21. And most of you know where to find that. This morning, we are in the fourth topics of our Advent series of the then and the now that we've been discussing and looking at, of Advent then and Advent now. And the key word this morning is where this morning. Where is he coming? And so I'm going to take this message in a little bit different direction this morning that it's going to, I think it'll resonate well with you because you know the where's. The simpleness of the where is he coming, knowing that you were part of, and you know that Jesus is born in Bethlehem, but also you know where he's coming next because he just started the book of Revelation. And I want to go deeper with you than that this morning. And so as we read this, we're going to get into our message this morning. Let's begin reading at Micah 5, verse 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. As I'm going to stop the reading there this morning, and then turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, excuse me, 21, beginning at verse 2 through 3. The entitlement of this passage is a new heaven and a new earth. So I just gave you the then in Micah. Micah prophesied that Jesus would be coming, a Messiah. And now we see the second advent. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we heard from your Bible this morning, Lord, may you bring that word to life. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, just descend upon us. Lord, teach us, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls to receive your word. And Lord, may this message be yours, not mine. Lord, may these be your words and not mine too. Lord, may you fill me with that same spirit as I bring this message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Do I have any George Strait fans in the house this morning? Listen to this song.
Had a nice little life. A little boat, a little beach, a little routine I like. Ocean view, free to go with the flow anywhere that I wanted to. But the moment you set foot on my shore, that's when I knew there's a difference in living and living well.
There's a difference between living and living well. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So let me show you another thing about my childhood. I'm fortunate enough, I have my sister sitting in the room with us this morning as well. She probably recognizes this picture right away. But let me share something with you. Think about this question this morning. Where have you lived, and have you lived well in those places? So let me give you an example of what I got here on the screen this morning. This is a picture of a farm place. And this is roughly taken in the 80s, and this is a picture of the farm place that I grew up on near Greeley, Colorado. And so I want to show that to you this morning, a little bit about where I grew up. I also grew up on farm places by Elvord and Inwood. And here's the point that I want to make with you this morning, because right now there are a lot of things going through your mind of where you grew up as a child and maybe the things you experienced, whether good or bad. But let me say to you, all those places shape who you are. They define you. The way you live your life, the way that you respond and act to certain things in life, they define who you are. Childhood homes, the home place, grandpa and grandma's place, the workplace. Places have significance in our lives. Places have a way of connecting us to family and community. Think about that this morning. Some places have very deep meaning to us. This farm place has deep meaning to me. I was the age 9 and I moved on, and I was right at 16 when we moved back to Iowa. I spent about 7 years on this place. Lots of good memories of growing up in that place. Some hold great memories, but others not so much. Places are important parts of our lives. The places that God places us are no accident. He uses them to further his kingdom and to grow our faith in those places. The places where the Messiah comes is significant, and it truly matters. And so let me get into a little bit of that this morning. Christ came the first time to a place called Bethlehem. And in your Bible this morning, we read in Micah that it did have a second name, Ephrathah. And on the back of your outline, you'll see a little bit more history about Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Now, I'm not going to go through that this morning. You can go home and read about the history of those who were born there. But it's significant. There's many Bible references to the birthplace of those in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Israel, was a small town, kind of insignificant at the time. But in time, we come to realize that the place of Bethlehem would be very significant through the birth of Jesus Christ. Bethlehem was also the birth home of King David and also his father, Jesse, as well. We know the Savior Jesus was born there to take away the sins of the world. But let's talk about the then in Micah's day. What did he see? What did he experience? Micah was a prophet of God, who preached to the Israelites around 750 to about 680 BC. That was Micah's life. And he preached to the people of God, the Israelites. And Micah's main concerns were that worship was being perverted, is being changed. It wasn't right. It wasn't done well. And he's seen that. And they were worshiping the wrong things. They were worshiping the systems of power that were in the land. And maybe today, if I could put that in more realistic terms, they worshiped their country probably more than they worshiped their God. Maybe you're in that place today. But that's what Micah found. That's what he experienced. And also, this is an empire that had kings. They also wanted to worship the king in a mighty way. And Micah said, no, that's not the king that you should be worshiping. And so the church was kind of falling away from its true teaching. And Micah's job was to bring that true worship, that true teaching back to the church. And one of the other things that was going on in the church was there were all kinds of injustices from people in the church. And Micah preached, and if you were to go home and read the book of Micah, you would learn that the church was not practicing justice. It wasn't doing the things that it should have been doing, the right things. That's what justice means, what the Bible teaches us of how to live and how to treat others and how we should be as we live about our lives. And Micah saw those things, and he addressed those things through the Word of God. And so Micah was used by God to bring his people hope. They were desperate. They weren't sure what to do in the midst of maybe losing ground in their faith. But Micah said, hold on. There's one coming that's mighty. And now he's 750 years before the birth of Christ, but he still preached to them hope. And don't we still preach hope today? Isn't that why you gather here on a Sunday morning? Because you want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ for whatever's going on in your life. Micah preached hope then. We still preach hope now. And this is the words that he used. And I read that to you in verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, talking to the people of the city, though you are small among the clans of Judah, and he also preached this word to Samaria at the same time, the same message went out to all of Israel. But out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times. Speaks of Jesus Christ in the beginning. We see that in the book of Genesis as well, when the Trinity's there at creation. The first advent of the Messiah, Micah declares God's active sovereignty. Now that's a pretty big word, but what Micah's saying is that God's people can once again become righteous, they can worship well, and they can live justly. He said it's okay for the things that are going on. Make some changes. Improve. Learn to live well, is what he taught the people. Micah gave people hope in tough times, and especially hope for the people of God. Where Jesus came was significant. Bethlehem would forever be remembered as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. That was the first advent. That was then. Let's move to the now. Where is he coming in the second advent? Looks a little different than the first, doesn't it? Now, some of you, you know, you've been following me through the book of Revelation. And so when his second coming comes, it comes with what? Trumpets and peals of thunder. And where does he come? Congregation? On the clouds, right? Who will see him? Everyone will see him. Right. At the same time, his presence will be mighty. He'll be the conquering king that you've learned about the last several weeks. And Christ will return to earth. And where did you learn, as I read to you out of the book of Revelation this morning, where will Christ dwell? Where will the new city, the Jerusalem, be? In heaven up there? Where? Upon this earth. With his people. That's what the second coming will look like. And so Christ will be returning to a renewed earth and a forgiven and renewed people. That's what that second coming will look like. That's the now of the advent that we look forward to. And most of you understand that and you've listened to that the last several weeks. But that's the hope that we live for. But here's the thought that I want to work with you this morning. Let me get to the right slide. So how do we live well in the places, remember those places that I talked to you about this morning, your childhood home, your grandparents' home, the workplace, whatever that might be for you. I'm going to call them the wheres, right? The wheres that you live, since where is Christ coming? I want to think about the wheres in your life this morning. How do we live well in those places between the then and the now? Anybody interested in knowing that? Oh, then nobody? Well, I'll just go home then for the day. Right? And there's a difference between living and living well. And you're going to learn some of that this morning. That's what I want you to know. Between the then and the now. Through Micah's preaching, God turned around his people in their day. Micah spoke of a coming Messiah in verse 5 that would be their peace. And I hope that you find that Jesus Christ is your peace today as well in the world that we live in. But he pulled the people away from the edge of sinful lives, of wrongful worship, of wrongful living. And he taught them to worship well and to live well. Now you're going to learn things at a much deeper level of just simply just living well this morning. Micah, through the help of God, even brought King Hezekiah to the faith in his day. That's quite an accomplishment. That's the work of God in someone's life. But God's people learned to live well again. And I think we need that reminder today. And so how do we live well in the here and now? Especially in the light of Jesus and the hope that we have for a new kingdom. I have often said, I can't wait till Jesus returns one day. And sometimes I want that to come sooner than later. And some of you might agree with me in those situations. But get this, I'm starting to figure out that's not always what I should wish for, because that's not reality, right? Nor should I focus on that. And so here's where the lesson begins. We're not called to escape this place. We're not called to escape the problems that you and I face or the difficulties that we encounter in our lives. We're not called to run from them. This is what we're called to do. We are called to live well in the midst of them. How do we do that? Because there are some tough things that go on in our lives. What does that look like? So let me remind you of a few things this morning. God is always at work in the places that you find yourself. Whatever that is today. In your history, in your life, and right now. The then and now. God is always at work. And then the Bible goes on, I think 1 Thessalonians on the bottom of your screen, to always be thankful for everything and in all times. How's that supposed to look in the middle of difficulty, brokenness, when things don't go right in your life, and then God says you're supposed to live well in the midst of that? How's that supposed to work? What do I need to do to live like that in my life? Because you and I are called to live in this world. We're called to face our problems with an eternal hope, no matter what the outcome is. That's the eternal hope we hold on to. Our hope is in living well in the midst of all that is going on in our lives. So how do we live in the midst of hardship, sickness, this thing that we call COVID, this pandemic, in a time of death, the loss of a job, the loss of income, whatever it might be that you have in your life that's going on. So I want you to think about this question very deeply this morning that I'm going to give to you. Okay? The answer might seem simple, but it will be the hardest thing that you will ever do. And here it is, and you see it on the bottom of the screen. Love one another and care for one another with great sincerity, with all of your heart. For anything that you might go through. Now let me expand on that just a little bit. This work gets to be a little tougher, because it's real easy to love your spouse most of the time, right? You're thinking, well, maybe I should be all the time, but, you know, I get that. Are your children? Are your parents? Or maybe the neighbor that you get along with really well? Or friends? But get this. When I give you that statement right there, when you need to love one another and care for one another with all sincerity, it includes people of different, are different than you. And let me just share a little more. People that look different than you, people that think differently than you, and maybe even people that believe differently than you. God says, I want you to love my people for who they are. So how does that look in your life? Those you work with? What about those places that you've lived? Your childhood home. Now you can't go back and make any changes to those things because God's already worked through those things. There's a reason why you're sitting here today listening to this message, because God wanted you to hear those things. But you can make a difference from this day forward of where you live and what you're doing and how you're loving one another. What does that love look like? We help each other out, don't we? There are times when we cry together. We've had many opportunities the last several weeks, months, years to cry together. And you know what the Dieters family is going through right now, don't you? There will be more opportunity to cry together. But there will also be times to laugh together, times of joy. There will be times of great blessings. There will be times in our lives that God will just show greatness. But also there's times when we need to love each other, when we need to share a meal together. There might be times in our lives that we need to share our burdens with one another. Financial, maybe just spiritual brokenness. Maybe they just need a friend or somebody to talk to in their lives. To love one another with a deepness and great sincerity, like Christ calls us to. And so let me share with you just a little bit of a story here this morning that's from the Bible. To love like Jesus did. Remember the woman at the well? She had several husbands. And she was even shacking up with another guy at the time, wasn't she? And this is what Jesus said to her. Knock it off, you stupid prostitute! Is that what he said? No. He didn't. Now, sometimes we like to use those kind of words, don't we? To people we might live with every day. And maybe even harsher than those words. But Jesus went to her and he said this to her. I know your sins. Change the way you live. And live well. That's what he asked her to do. I want you to learn to live well. Now, let's talk about that living well just a little bit deeper this morning. It means that we live with the peace of God in our lives, but we also live with knowing the teachings of God for our lives as well. Right? How to live according to His Word in our lives. And there's lots of things. I could say, well, you know, we got to follow the Ten Commandments, and, you know, you're married, you shouldn't have relationships outside of that marriage. That's forbidden by God's rule, you know, those types of things. And all kinds of things come to mind when I think of that, of how we should live in God's ways. And you and I are to do that to the best of our ability. Remember last week how Billy Borden lived his life? No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. If you didn't see it last week, go back and look at it online. But that's how he lived his life, and he loved people in the midst of that. And I'm calling you to live that same way this morning, to live well, according to the Word of God in your life. That's what Jesus talked to this woman at the well about. He didn't shame her. He didn't run her off. He didn't call her names. He didn't say, you're going to end up in hell one day. He just said, change the way you live. I know your situation. Learn to live well. In the way that I taught you to live. And this living well becomes a lifestyle for you and I, if we're followers of Jesus Christ. We learn to live it day in and day out. You learn to live it from Monday right on through Sunday, not just today, but tomorrow morning as well when you go to work. You learn to live well with others around you. So here's where the rubber meets the road this morning. Question for you again. This is the one that is going to be serious to you. You need to wrestle with this week. What or who am I living for? You need to answer that before you can live well, because if you don't live for the right person, you will not live well. I'll even go as far as to say this. If you don't live for Jesus Christ in this world, things will not go well for you. You might prosper here on earth, but someday things are not going to go well for you if you get my drift. And the living well that I'm talking about is way filled with blessings and hope and the love and joy of Jesus Christ in your everyday life. That's the hope that we have for Christmas. That's the hope that we have with that eternal hope that you and I need to know about when life becomes difficult. We hold on to that living well. That's the question you need to wrestle with. And I will also tell you that you will wrestle with this question if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You will wrestle with that question every day in your life to the day that you die. Because Satan does not want you to live for Jesus Christ. He's got another plan for you. But if you're going to live well, you need to live for Jesus Christ. Easy to say, but much harder to do in our lives. I have another story for you this morning from the Bible. Remember Zacchaeus. Remember that story? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Jesus, this is out of Luke 19. Jesus looked up to him because Zacchaeus was a short man. He got up in the tree and he wanted to see the Savior come. And what did he say to Zacchaeus? He said, Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm coming to your where today? Your house. For I'm coming to your place today. Remember I told you how important the places that you live are in your lives? Have you allowed God, have you allowed Jesus to live in those places in your life? Places have significance. Bethlehem had significance to all of us. The places, the wheres in our lives matter. Now, I'm not saying you had a good experience at every one of those places, because some of you maybe didn't. Maybe your childhood home was a mess. You weren't treated right. It wasn't fair. But yet, in the midst of all that, I still truly believe that God was working and shaping and molding and bringing you to where you need to be today. And you all have something to offer. You all have the ability to love one another with sincerity that I talked about. And so you are called by God to live where you are for a specific reason and to live well in those settings. It's my encouragement for you today. No matter if you're young or old, learn to live well in those settings. And I believe that you'll be truly blessed for doing that. And so as George Strait said, I like George Strait and his music, if you didn't know that. But here's what he said. There's a difference in living and living well. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.